Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, what do you, you just kind of moved my couch out of the way.
Yeah.
You ripped up my carpet.
Right.
What are you drawing on my
floor? It's a, it's for my Instagram. It's a pentagram.
Okay.
I wanted to do it for the gram.
What are those candles around the, you've got the star and there's candles at each point. What are you doing here?
Yeah, just to get all these right here. It's a vegan thing. Let me just finish.
Okay. I am Satan.
Oh, great. Now you spawn Satan in my living room.
It's
Thanks.
Pronounced Satan.
And this is stranger still. I feel like I've started every episode with some sort of stupid voice.
Yeah, and your radio voice, right?
No, I did like the welcome to Stranger Steel.
Oh yeah, you did do that.
Welcome to Stranger Steel.
Yeah. Now I'm out of voices, so I'm just gonna do
the scariest voice, a human, because one day you'll be a skeleton.
I was gonna do a werewolf, which is.
Nah, that's just like there's too many Scoobies around for me not to think you're doing an impression.
today at work, oh wow, this is gonna be a weird episode, isn't it? Today at work, we were just quoting the Scooby-Doo movie for a very long time, and for some reason it started with Velma's line of yo 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 yo, but then I was like, the only thing better than an eggplant burger is a chocolate covered eggplant burger. And then Scooby goes with rot sauce, ra-cha-cha-cha. So I kept doing that. It'd be like silent for 5 minutes, and I'd be like,
"Oh man,
ra-cha-cha-cha.
It's really good."
What are we talking? Speaking of,
we're talking about Satan,
an eggplant, chocolate covered eggplant burger. What are we talking about today, John?
Satan. We're talking about Satan.
Well, we're talking about people who are afraid of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
There was this period of time in the U.S. and a little bit of the U.K. and a few other countries' history where people thought.
I'm just going to listen to what the media tells me.
Worse than that, dude. It's so much worse.
Not much.
Yeah. People thought that there were these satanic cults, satanic sex cults.
Then. Yeah.
And they were like literally getting possessed by the devil. And they were sacrificing children or putting children through these ceremonies. And First, we are going to talk about some gritty stuff, but I think that we can sidestep it quite a bit by just saying anytime we say abuse, assume all forms of abuse.
There you go.
But you and I talked about this beforehand yesterday, and I was like, before I started researching and before I thought about it critically, I was like, there's no way that this could happen in 2019. We're smarter now. We've got the internet where we have access to like fact checking websites
facetious.
And stuff. I wasn't then.
No, but right now you are.
Well, I'm relaying the story here, but then I thought like stuff like Pizzagate happened.
Yeah.
And some of that has a lot of parallels to the things that went on during the Satanic Panic, or even like that dumb Momo thing that went around on YouTube where people thought that like this ghost was
an art project that someone made and took a picture and it turned into a ghost meme.
Yeah, and then everyone thought that it was popping up on random videos and telling kids to like
hurt themselves
or kill their parents or whatever. And we also have flat earthers and anti-vaxxers. So we are smarter, but there's still a lot of idiots out there. And that's why I think...
Or a lot of ignorant people that are in bad spots in their life that want to...
But there's also idiots out
and
there.
And idiots.
Yes. I think that your take is a lot better and friendly.
Yeah, but my take is like the people that are really into conspiracy theories, but they got a heart of gold and they don't want to believe in them.
Yeah.
You know? You ever meet one of those?
I'm kind of like that. I've said before, I collect conspiracy theories.
Humble,
I don't believe them.
Nick hashtag Humblewood.
You know me.
I'm kind of out of heart of gold.
I am humbler than you, okay?
Yeah, because I'm great.
So anyway, what was the Satanic Panic, John? I already said
humble.
It, but...
Satanic Panic in the Attic is a song.
Is it?
It is.
How's it go?
I don't remember. I think it's of Montreal.
It's a really great story.
Why don't you tell me how it went?
It went like this.
Well, let me just say one thing. I think it sets the tone for this pretty well.
Yeah.
stuff you should know, friend of the show. Yes, it rhymes, official, so I gotta say it like that.
Official friend of the show.
They keep releasing stuff the same time that we do.
I know!
And it's, like, really funny, because it's not even, like, new things. It's, like, stuff they did a while ago, and then they'll do it, it's called SYSK Selects, and they do, like, old episode they re-air, and they did Satanic Panic 2 days ago.
Yeah, over the weekend.
Right, so I listened to it.
After we had selected this episode already.
Yeah, which is just great. And it was already researched a little bit by you. So then Josh describes it in that episode as he wants to put together a suite of the times that America lost its mind.
Yeah.
And this would be one of them.
Yeah.
So this is that I thought, because it's a good prerequisite to know. It's one of the times that America lost its mind.
Yeah. And
the others being like the Salem witch trials.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Stuff like
and
that.
We talked about that, and we talked about how mass hysteria gripped this community of people. And that same mass hysteria, instead of just grouping a group of people in Salem, Massachusetts, gripped the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the country. Which is ridiculous. That is bizarre to me, especially when we get into this. But it was a period in time where people thought your neighbor might be a Satan worshiper, might be part of a sex cult, might be sacrificing people or animals.
Mm-hmm.
They might be on casting Tumblr. Spells.
They might be on Tumblr.
They might be on Tumblr, which
is
the worst
place
to be.
I only say that because it's like every goth girl on Tumblr is a Satanist.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But it could be your next door neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be your daycare provider. It could be anyone. So, I also wrote down in my notes, they could be smearing blood and poop and urine all over other people and your children. And we'll get into specifics later. But in the end, a lot of child care providers and parents were accused of serious abuse allegations.
Yeah.
Some of them went to jail. Some of them are still in jail. And it's things like these that... There's so many things that led up to it that you would never expect that this is the outcome. But we need to look back on it because I feel like we are kind of in a state where this could definitely happen again. Something stupid like this dumb McCarthyism will come back around and bite us in the butt.
And just to clarify, you don't mean Iowa. You mean the country.
I mean the country.
Right.
Yeah. Especially because we still believe in paranormal stuff like the Long Island Medium is hugely popular right now. Most of like
I watch it for the bagels and the coffee. I get nostalgic. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We still have stuff like Pizzagate and all that stuff going on. And
although they're a loud minority.
They are.
Which
but,
is refreshing, but it still doesn't mean that those things aren't growing online in some places.
Right.
Thanks to YouTube algorithms.
There's a lot of things. As I go through what led up to the Satanic Panic, there's a lot of things that I think we can draw parallels to today. And it's important to keep in mind that history repeats itself, and so does McCarthyism. Like, there was this thing called McCarthyism, and the way that... who was it? Now I gotta look this up. The Crucible. Who wrote The Crucible?
Jesus.
No. The play. The I used to know this. Arthur Miller.
Leave this in.
I will.
Oh, look
Arthur
that.
Miller.
Just to show how fast you could Google, huh?
Yeah. So Arthur Miller wrote The Crucible about the Salem witch trials to point a finger at McCarthyism and say, hey, look, you're doing this again. Stop doing this. And then it happened again with the Satanic Panic, and it's going to happen again in another 40 years.
Yeah. Or you could say it's happened with otherism.
Yeah.
The others, the immigrants.
Yeah, it's always happened. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's always us against them. And that's unfortunately human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get into our post-humanist mindset as a culture.
Can I please upload my consciousness?
Please.
Just give me a terabyte, dude.
And then you can't say that other people are not equal unless they're like, well, I spent $1,000 on this digital necklace.
Hydro necklace.
Yeah.
Made of essence of electricity
and water. I have no idea what we're talking about anymore. I checked
necklace.
Out for a second there. I just repeated
talking
the last
the
thing you said.
I'm trying to be hopeful.
So specifically, when it comes to the Satanic Panic or Satanic ritual abuse, there are a lot of factors that made this mass hysteria possible. I've danced around enough. It's time to get into it. And there are a lot of nebulous factors that happened in the 60s and 70s that I found a lot of good stuff on Gizmodo, some stuff on Vox, and some like thesis papers for people's graduate. But Gizmodo pointed out that there was a religious vacuum that formed out of the 60s psychedelic movement. And they had an excerpt from a book called Season of the Witch, How the Occult Saved Rock and Roll, that says that the 60s had promises of cosmic spiritual consciousness that didn't really pan out. So everyone thought like, oh man, we got free love. And then it just kind of came crashing and burning down. And then at this time, Reagan was coming into office, which then the book points out as well, led to a shift toward a lot of conservative values.
Yeah.
Stop me if this sounds familiar.
No, conservative wouldn't stop you from that. Yeah.
So I found this huge thesis paper that I went through a lot of effort finding, and then it was like almost 300 pages long. I was like, "Cool, not today, Satan." So I did glean some things from it though, and they pointed out that as conservative values became more prominent, there was a rise in fire and brimstone Christians that firmly believed that Satan was out there and Satan was trying to ruin you and your children and the rest of the world. And to narrow this down a little bit further, there's an artist and Christian fundamentalist named Jack Chick. Does that sound familiar at all?
Jack Chick. Well, I know both those words.
Separately, but not together. Yeah. In 74, he started making Chick tracks, which I know you know about because I showed one to you. I think you received one in like a bathroom. They're like sitting, I don't remember. But they're those little pamphlets that had the comics in them.
Yeah, you had to teach me what it was.
Yeah. So he started making these little comics that came in these little pamphlets and you could just like leave them wherever.
That threaten you in bathrooms until you're going to go to hell.
Yeah, they preach a fire and brimstone theology and say that Satan is everywhere and he's going to ruin your life unless you quit drinking alcohol or stay away from the shticky icky.
Yeah, and like all of their cartoons use like the like flash gradient where it looks really bad. It has like no shading.
Yeah, these days, yeah. So conservative values also took over the media, which unfortunately led to a lot of discrimination, a lot of us against them. And as a side note, talk shows were all the rage. And I often forget this. In the early 80s, there were only 4 channels on TV. So all of them were fighting against each other, trying to get the most sensational news stories.
That's kind of like irresponsible.
Yeah.
To only have 4 channels?
Oh. No. I thought you were going to say it was irresponsible to try to...
As a nation.
Yeah, I guess you're
that's
right.
That's too much power concentrated, if you think about it.
Yeah, but now
if
there's too many
in
channels.
Control of 25% or your only news channel in the area,
mm-hmm.
That's too much power.
I guess
power.
There's 5 if you had PBS. No, there's that was 4, including them.
It still is a bunch
there's
of
ABC,
garbage.
NBC,
it makes a lot of sense why like,
CBS
people are
PBS.
Not as informed, and it makes me sad that you didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
You know?
What would you do? Like if
I don't know.
The TV shut off.
I wouldn't be able to watch that video of that frog with a mascot head and he pulls his mascot head off and he's got a frog mask on underneath.
Oh god.
Like 30 times in a row if it wasn't for the internet.
Right. If it weren't for TikTok.
Oh, it wasn't even from that. I don't remember. It just appeared on my phone. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's Satan. Satan's trying to ruin your life.
Satan's trying to airdrop my phone.
Yeah. So conservative values also led to stuff like the Parents Music Resource Center that we've talked about before. They were going around putting parental advisory stickers on rock and roll albums.
For a friend that showed Cody Snyder's mm-hmm. dad.
Yeah.
Helped fight that in court.
Cody Blue Snyder.
Cody Blue.
And they thought that rock and roll was corrupting our children. And it just so happened that these rock and roll icons were using a lot of satanic imagery that came from old paintings, old religious paintings, and stuff like the Salem witch trials. A lot of the symbolism came from those. And then there were two sort of contradictory things that happened around the 70s. One was that household economics started to shift, which meant families adopted a 2-income model, so mothers were going back to work more.
It's so nuts to think that, like, this
before
is
the
real.
70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, before the 70s, it was a majority of stay-at-home moms, and then in the 70s,
I'm
those
so
moms
excited.
Started to go to work.
Yeah, tell me about the tax rate.
Everyone needs to be taxed appropriately.
Okay, I'm getting chills.
I'm like, I'm channeling the spirit of Bernie Sanders here. So the other thing was, well, before I get there, this meant that a lot of children were being placed in the hands of strangers, also known as daycare providers, so that these moms could go to work.
That's got to be a nightmare for your jobs if you're a babysitter at the time.
Oh, yeah. There's a big boom.
You're
a
dude this. Babysitter, especially?
Yeah.
During Satanic Panic?
Oh, my God. It gets so much worse. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. We'll get there. So the other thing that happened is that people actually started to care about their kids, and we got stuff like the Stranger Danger movement. And missing children started to appear on like the backs of milk cartons. There was like reports of clowns preying on people, thanks to like John Wayne Gacy. And you were told not to take candy from strangers. Don't get in a van of a stranger. And sadly, it wasn't until the 70s that child sex abuse was finally taken seriously. And this is one thing that SYSK pointed out in their episode, was that there weren't a lot of laws until the 70s that required mandatory reporting. So if you were a doctor or a teacher or a child care provider and you thought that a child was being abused, you were required to report it unless, well, if they found out that you knew about it and didn't report it, then you would go to jail.
Yeah.
And that those laws came around in the 70s. And then I also want to point out that there's stuff like D&D that came around this time, and you've got a lot of monsters that are based on ancient demons, like Judeo-Christian demons nonetheless. And people thought that this was a satanic recruiting tool.
Yeah, we're trying to get some demogorgons out here.
Yeah. And then we talked about this before, but you have massive media coverage. You have Geraldo Rivera, you have 2020, you've got Oprah, all these people fighting for ratings.
Baby J.K. Rowling was probably messing stuff up with some witchcraft.
Yeah, she's talking to snakes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then those are the nebulous
she
things.
She sucks, by the way.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll tell you after.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to ruin your images.
Well, don't tell my wife.
I won't.
So those are all the nebulous things. And then there are specific events that we can point to. A lot of these came from Vox. So thank you, Vox. And we can say these absolutely contributed to satanic panic. So these the other things were just the societal background noise of everything going on at the time. Then in 1966, Anton LaVey, who I now know who that is, because I'm an idiot, founded the Church of Satanism. And then in 1969, he published the Satanic Bible, which is their seminal text. And then we talked a couple of weeks ago about movies. In 1968, there was Rosemary's Baby, which involved a satanic cult. And then in the late 60s, the Manson cult appeared on the scene with occult imagery. And in 1969, they murdered Sharon Tate and her friends, which is now, I think, the third time we've talked about that incident. Fourth? Somewhere in there.
Mm.
Someone let us know. And then 1971, The Exorcist was published, and a movie came out 2 years later. And this not only involved demons and possessions and exorcism, but also repopularized the Ouija board as something spooky instead of just a fun party game. And then...
That's bizarre.
Right? And then there were other cults around this time, like Jonestown... And occultish serial killers like the Zodiac Killer, and then just serial killers in general that fed into the stranger danger like Ted Bundy or, like I said, John Wayne Gacy. And those are all fine and dandy. But then there were two books that set this whole thing in motion. In 1979, a Christian evangelist, if I could say that right, named Mike Warnke published a memoir called Satan Seller. Not like in your basement, like a person who sells things to you. And in it, he claimed that he had previously been a practicing satanic high priest, where he said he was, in the book, he said he was an orphan. He was orphaned as a small child, was folded into Satanism, did a bunch of drugs and orgies and summoned demons and cast spells.
Yeah, sounds pretty rad.
Other and sexual abuse, yeah. Then, when he went to the Navy, he converted to Christianity, and this has been thoroughly debunked, but he was orphaned and raised by his aunts, and other sources say he found Christianity when he was still in high school and had nothing to do with the Navy. And then
where he read How to Scam People by writing a book.
Yeah.
The book.
The book was finally disproven 20 years later in Cornerstone Magazine in 1992. They did a really good investigation on it. And then the second book was Michelle Remembers. And this was published in 1980, where a supposed psychologist named Lawrence Pazder and his soon-to-be wife, Michelle Smith, published a fantastical story about how they had recovered some of Michelle's lost memories through hypnosis and claimed that it was nonfiction. And they said that in the 50s, she had been part of the Church of Satan. In 1955, there had been an 81-day ritual that actually summoned Satan, among other things. And obviously, this has been debunked because Satan wasn't summoned. I can tell you that much.
And that's expensive. Can you imagine being anywhere with a large group of people for 81 days, all the catering?
Think of all the bathrooms. Boarding, yeah.
You'd have to rent porta potties, porta johnnies.
Yeah. And then all of the bills for Satan, booking Satan. Can you imagine?
The noise.
The noise complaints.
That you'd hear like, oh. Oh, you know, and like
late
fire,
in the night, yeah.
Incense cost.
So yeah, this has been debunked, and after thorough investigations, there was no corroborating rating evidence, not to mention Anton LaVey founded the church in 66, 16
and
years
him,
before she said this happened.
I don't know if he's a bad dude. He's really super interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Church of Satan and the Satanic Temple are very interesting religions.
Like they're like, I mean, I don't know how much you went into actual Satanism or... We're going to talk about it.
Not much.
It's kind of like, it's just like church with less daylight, more candles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Church of Satan is a lot more like a traditional religion, but the temple of the Satanic Temple is more of a parody of religion. They're like atheists that use Christian techniques to show them how manipulative and bad the way they do things are. Mm-hmm. That's their whole shtick. So whatever your views on that are, those are your views. So okay. This whole thing with Michelle Remembers led to one of the cornerstones of Satanic Panic, which is that you could now, in what we believed to be psychotherapy, recover lost memories through hypnosis. And there's a lot of problems with this. Namely, it doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. And that's scientifically proven.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. There's also a lot of the suggestions that therapists put into these people's heads create pseudo memories. That's the thing that we've talked about before, where you conjure up this fantasy, but you conjure it in a way that feels like a memory, and then it's solidified in your brain as a memory. That's a pseudo memory.
Yep. And what do we say about pseudoscience?
It's stupid.
It's stupid. That's right, Nick.
Yeah. We're really in sync, aren't we? So when Michelle Remembers came out, the media, of course, glommed onto it. She did a press tour, probably showed up on Oprah. And after it came out, there was an incident in Bakersfield, California, where people began claiming that they had been abused in one cult or another. And according to Vox, two of the girls that reported this were later shown to have been coached by their possibly mentally ill grandparents into making these claims. And they said, quote, over the coming months, their story of strange cult sex acts would grow more and more bizarre as they claimed to have been hung from hooks in their family's living room, forced to drink blood and watch ritual baby sacrifices and much more. If you're being hung from hooks, there should be like physical evidence of that, right?
I mean, I would think if it's the way that it's imagined,
unless it's like under their armpits.
Yeah.
So accusations in this instance were tossed back and forth, and from just this like outburst in Bakersfield, 26 people went to jail. And then not too long after, so that was in 1980, in 1983, one of the most famous events during the whole Satanic Panic event finally happened, and that is the McMartin trials. And this is also in California, Manhattan Beach. It has nothing to do with your Manhattan, so shove it.
Oh wow, thanks. There was... You showed me. Hey, real quick though, but let's go back to the other one. 26 people.
Yeah.
And what were they charged with?
Abuse of many forms.
Okay.
That's all that I will say because I said I'd dance around it.
Yeah.
So in Manhattan Beach, California, there was this innocent preschool run by the McMartin family. And one parent, who was later found to be schizophrenic, came forward and said that her son had been abused by one of the teachers. She also claimed that that one kid had been like drilled through the arms, a teacher was flying through the air, and no one thought, she might be mentally ill.
Yeah.
So she claimed that other kids had been abused.
But hold on, how old was this kid?
Well, it was a preschool, so anywhere from 2 to 5.
So maybe it's not mentally ill.
No, this was the mom making these claims.
That's what
the kid
wasn't
making the claims. It was this mom.
Okay.
So she said that these kids had been abused and coerced into satanic rituals and were told to keep quiet, otherwise the teachers would hurt their parents. Supposedly they had like secret underground tunnels that would take them to ritual sites. There was a group, a nonprofit group, brought in called the Children's Institute that were meant to investigate these claims. They investigated the preschool and then expanded their investigation outward and ended up interviewing 400 preschoolers and decided that 359 of these children had, in fact, been abused, 14 of or so of which had been from the McMartin preschool. And several teachers were brought in on this trial of the McMartin preschool, and the founder and her son were jailed. That was just the beginning of the mess. Part of the problem with the 400 people that they interviewed was that they had brought in an unlicensed psychotherapist named Key McFarlane, whose only, and this is a quote, her only higher academic credential was a welding certificate.
Whoa.
And she claimed to be a psychotherapist. And I just want to read to you this excerpt from a Los Angeles Times article that came out in 87 to just show how awful these coercive interviews were.
So, okay, how many times have we could prevented this so far? 10 at least?
Yeah. So these kids were coerced to give evidence on this trial, and this is how it went. The resulting interviews, lasting about 90 minutes each, remember these kids are 3 or 4, sometimes appear suggestive. In one, for example, a 6-year-old boy, I guess they're a little bit older, repeatedly denies knowledge of any improprieties. It's weird. My brain stuck on that word. Finally, therapist Sean Connerly says, sometimes the teachers took their clothes off and they, the children, got tickled other places. Can you guess where they might have gotten tickled? The child shakes this Pac-Man puppet that he had. No. Well, take a wild guess, Connerly urges. Now remember, you're a super junior detective and you're supposed to try and help us. Where do you think they have gotten touched? That would have been a yucky place. Their vagina, the boy asks hesitantly. Connerly had explained the term to him a few minutes earlier.
Jesus.
So this
guy sucks.
This is the stuff that went on for 90 minutes with one kid.
And why was he trying? Was he trying to be like, this will be a big case for me?
I don't know the motivation. Well, I think that people...
Or he thought that he just assumed that everyone's bad and they definitely did this, so I want to make people go to jail.
Right. I think that he had bought into the fact that the... McMartins had done this and thought, well, the kid isn't saying it. I need to help him say it so that these people get justice. I am 100% sure that this person was bought in and not trying to do something evil, but ended up
doing something
horribly evil. And the trial went on for 6 years, cost $15 million, and was dropped in 1990 due to a severe lack of evidence, but not before the damage had already been done.
Now, you mentioned people are still in jail from this?
They are not. They were in and out of jail. Nothing ever stuck to them. But there are people from other cases that I'll get to. I just want to pop out that thanks to sensationalized television, a lot of other cases popped out of this.
Which makes me think that this may have to do with when we first started, it was four channels we talked about, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So I think that it's kind of like a learning curve. That people were learning, oh, all these horrible things are happening. Mm-hmm. And then that immediately went to, oh, maybe you can't trust everything you hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that went too far.
Yeah.
And then people didn't trust any facts.
Yeah. So then they're just like, sure.
And now we're at the
teacher
internet.
Was flying right. around.
And that generation had that, never learned the lesson to go back where, I mean, if they're not like totally invested in the internet, unless, yeah. I mean, some people are very savvy.
Yeah.
But that's why our generation, I think, like...
Everyone's skeptical because... Yeah. Stuff like this happened in our childhoods.
Correct.
So I'm sure that there are other events, but Vox laid out four that were just incredibly heartbreaking that really shows the impact of all this McCarthyism did to people. So in 1984, there was this married couple, Frank and Eileena Fuster. They were a pair of Cuban immigrants that ran a babysitting service. They were accused of abusing 8 kids and forcing them into satanic rituals. All of the kids had undergone memory recovery and, of course, coercive interviews. Just assume that that's implied for all of the rest of the stories. These kids went through similar interviews with different people. Eileena pleaded guilty to... She said she was innocent, but pleaded guilty to just get it over with, as she put it, and was sentenced to 3 years in prison, served for 3... And since she was undocumented, ended up getting deported before her prison sentence was up. Frank was a legal immigrant and was sentenced to 6 life terms or 165 years and is still serving his time.
Mm.
Not great.
Yeah.
Actually, at least when this article was written, I think it's pretty recent, though. There was another case in 1984, same year, of Gerard, Violet, and Cheryl Amiralt. I'm going to go with that one. They had a day school that they ran in Massachusetts. They were accused of abusing children with different instruments like knives, forks, magic wands. Apparently some of them dressed up as clowns. The kids were kept in magic rooms. They had to drink urine, among other things, probably blood. Coercive interviews were done. Gerard was sentenced to 40 years, but was released after 20, which is an incredible amount of time. Violet was going through having her conviction overturned, but died of cancer before that could happen, so she was still in jail. And then Cheryl was sentenced to 20 years, but only had to serve 10. Then, 5 years later, 1989, Glenn Toward and Brenda Williams. Glenn was a headmaster of a Montessori school in Glendale, Florida, which is like one of those hippy-dippy free-love preschools, which I say with all love in my heart. I don't mean anything bad about them.
You would send your daughter, place your daughter.
Sure, I don't know enough about them. I had researched them like 2 years ago, and now I don't know anything about them. So Brenda was his assistant. And then this guy, Dr. Allard Tesson, prosecuted them for satanic ritual abuse, of course. And in 1996, Dr. Tesson was charged with implanting the children with pseudo memories that led to the convictions of these two people. Glenn pleaded guilty to cut a better deal, wasn't released until he was 80 years old, and then the media and people in Florida attacked him as a child molester, even though he wasn't, as far as the evidence showed in this trial.
No evidence.
Yep. The last one I have was from 1991, the year I was born, with a couple named Dan and Fran Keller, which I just like that their names rhyme. I wish every couple's name rhyme.
Jan and Dan?
Dan and Fran.
Dan and Fran.
Yeah. So they owned a preschool in El Paso, Texas. And I got a little bit of differing information here. Vox said that a 3-year-old had come home and said the owner had pooped and peed on her head, which is like something my daughter would say all the time. Like, you pooped on my head.
Yeah.
SYSK, stuff you should know, said that they had claimed Dan had spanked her. But either way, this set off a wild chain of events in which Dan and Fran were accused of, but not limited to, shooting or dismembering people and students, putting blood in the kids' Kool-Aid, taking them to Mexico for satanic rituals and having them returned before the end of the day.
Seems like that's a pretty, like, easy thing to look into.
Right. But Vox says that they were accused of doing this through private jet. That's how they got back so fast. Stuff You Should Know said that they achieved this with secret underground tunnels to Mexico. Either way, it doesn't matter because it didn't happen. There's also sacrifices, blood baptisms, whatever you can imagine. And they were finally let out of jail after 21 years of a 48-year sentence.
And I hope they're trillionaires.
Some of these people countersued. I didn't follow up on these to see which ones did, but that's awful.
Yeah.
How did we let this happen?
Yeah, I mean, we can't say we. Because we...
As a society.
I don't feel responsible for society anymore. True. It's too big. All we could do is make, you know, talk to people that already agree with us on this show.
Yeah.
And maybe subtly change their minds.
Educate people, right? Yeah. Tell people to use critical thinking. Because that's the thing that's absent from all of these, is any amount of critical thinking.
Yeah. Like 100 people lacked critical thinking.
Yeah.
So way more people suffered.
Yeah. So we talked about what happened before the satanic panic that allowed this to happen, but it certainly couldn't have lasted nearly 15 years if not for the media. Thanks to shows like 2020, Geraldo Rivera did like 3 specials on it. People went on Oprah to talk about their experiences. All the talk shows were airing quote-unquote news and journalism about the satanic panic, and a lot of them had bought into it. Like, a lot of them weren't being nefarious. The nation was gripped by this, but some of them were being nefarious and saying, hey, this is getting ratings. We need to put this stuff on the air. And there's a great article on Splinter that I'll put in our show notes if you want to check it out, that has a lot of these specials, like Geraldo Rivera stuff, the Oprah stuff, if you guys want to watch them.
Yeah, that's cool. So strangeslittleshow.com will be right under that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just click on go to episode page.
Yeah, if you just go to the page the episode is on, it'll be the bottom link there. But at the time, like, even it wasn't just media. Social workers were reading books like Satan Seller, Michelle Remembers, Satan's Underground. Police departments had training videos on how to deal with satanic cults.
And I want to watch that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I know that. Maybe I'll link it in our show notes if I could find it before I put this up. But in between 1992 and 1994, the Justice Department had like scoured the United States, put out surveys and did a bunch of investigating. Guess how many satanic sex cults they had found?
Zero.
Zero. It's none.
Yeah.
Zip, zilch, nada. They found like crimes that had been done that people claimed were in the name of Satan, but those were copycats. There was no satanic sex cults. And every single case had been met with a lack of evidence. There were a few cases that after 1992 or 1994 that quickly died off, but people had their lives ruined over this dumb thing. So just next time someone's like, hey, my preschool's teacher was flying around the room, be like, nah.
Prove it, dude.
Yeah. Show me video.
Everyone's got a camera.
Picture didn't happen. Remember, yeah. That's still important. Let's keep that meme going.
Yeah.
You want to recap for us? And then after the break, I have a game for us.
Sure.
Recap.
Satanism is just a normal religion like any other.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just use your brains, guys.
Come on,
yeah.
Get your head out of your asses. Can I
Whoa.
Say that? I said it. I don't care. I'm not bleeping
it
either.
You can, because at my workplace, there is a legal word to say. Ass.
All right, let's take a break, and I've got a game which is Pokemon or Ancient Demon.
Hmm. Have fun.
Satan is in him. I can feel it.
So hail Satan, and have a lovely afternoon, madam.
You know we love doing these. And next week...
Podcasts?
These episodes. Oh. Especially October month. It's our favorite time of year.
October month.
Sorry. You just insert, copy-paste what I said.
Right.
Next week, we've got a finale that I spent a little bit of money on. And because of that, we need your support over at Flying Machine. Patreon.com/Flying Machine. Where else can people find us, John?
I mean, you can find us on any podcasting app.
Yeah.
And if you don't like podcasting app, there's a lot out there. Try another one.
And you should leave us reviews,
I don't like mine,
too.
But I still use it.
Yeah, it's true. Mine stopped alerting me when new episodes come out, so I got to figure out what the hell's up with that.
Mine, I'll listen to, like, an episode of the Flophouse, and then I'll accidentally hit next, and then I can't go back ever. I have to go into my library.
Oh, that's awful.
Click on the podcast, go to previously played at the very bottom, and then find what I was listening to just to hear what they said next.
You know, the Google app isn't that bad, so I'm happy about that.
Cool.
But,
we're on Stitcher, too.
Yeah. Spotify. It's great. Tell your friends. I mentioned the Flying Machine Network. We are proud members of the Flying Machine Network, and there's other great shows that you can find at flyingmachine.network, like the Poster podcast.
Look at that.
With Jay. She just put out an episode on urban legends.
Then listen to it.
Yeah, listen to that. It's perfect for this time of year. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've talked specifically about, have we, urban legends? Or God, I can't remember.
I feel like probably we did, but that really might have been specifically. We would probably do something like which urban legends are true or something, you know?
Yeah, maybe we did. I don't remember. God.
Well, now we can't.
Anyway.
See? Damn it.
Jay beat us to it. I'm sure that it's great. She does impeccable work.
Yeah.
Great research.
Like always.
Yeah.
It's like really well.
It's like way better than us. Plus, she carries the show by herself, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
We've both had to do it a couple times, and it's exhausting.
It's a lot of work.
I know. Yeah. So go listen to that. Now, a game for you, John. It is, I've got a number of Pokemon here.
You almost gave it away. You almost said,
no.
Now I've got one Pokemon.
No, which I was very specific about this. There is one more than the other so that you can't just guess one the entire time and win.
Okay.
So I've got...
Because I did that last time, didn't I?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And you still lost because I did the same thing I didn't tell you. So I've got a number of Pokemon and a number of ancient demons, usually from Judaism, Christianity, some probably from like Native American
stuff. Well, I found out my grandmother might be part Ashkenazi Jew.
Okay, so you should
so
be good.
I'm recently Jewish. My parents are Christian.
Yeah.
What else do I got?
I don't know. Let's say I got
part
10.
Demon.
10 in total.
Okay.
And you're part demon. And I chose new Pokemon because I know you haven't played those games. The latest one you've played was Diamond and Pearl.
Black and White. Is that newer?
That is newish, but there's still like three generations that you haven't played.
I know. I'm way behind. I never got to the islands.
Yeah. So I know you don't know these, which is great. Because normally I see this game like they're like prescription drug or Pokemon. Like, this is so easy. Snorlax, obviously that helps you with depression.
It's a good Pokemon.
That landed really well, didn't it?
It did.
So if you get more than half these right, you got to get 6 right.
Okay.
I will not curse you.
Oh, man.
With a satanic ritual.
Maybe you'll curse me on our bonus episode.
Yeah.
With the real one. Because you can curse
on us. Well, we already recorded that, so.
Yeah, next year.
So you got to get more than 6 right.
All right.
The first one I have, also I want to say...
Have you played this game? Are you like...
I made it up today.
Are you going to be this like... Oh. I own this on my... He's part of my team.
No, I went to Wikipedia, found some demon names, and then I went through the Pokedex and found some Pokemon that sounded similar to the demons that I had chosen. I'm going to say a lot of these, even the Pokemon, I don't know how to pronounce, so I'm just going to commit to the pronunciation so you don't think that I made it up or it's a demon because I don't know how to pronounce it. So if I say it wrong, I'm sorry, people. Just work with me here.
All right.
First one I have is Nagandel.
Nagandel?
Mm-hmm.
D-E-L at the end?
D-E-L.
Nagandel.
That's not going to help you.
If it would be, I mean, can I tell you even if it's a demon, if it's a dragon type or not?
A lot of these are. I thought I had a pencil to mark off which ones are you right. Hang on, you answer this while I look for a pencil.
Okay, I mean, I can answer right now and then you'd be panicked because you'd have to keep up with me. Demon.
Wrong. It's Pokemon.
I was going to say dragon type Pokemon.
I think it is. Probably. Next one I have is... Zaphan, spelled with an X.
That's a demon. That's a real demon.
It is a real demon. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. You got one right.
I mean, it's a real name of a demon.
Yeah.
You know?
Correct.
I don't want Zaphan coming after me if I don't believe in him, though. So, maybe he is real.
Ronave.
I wish you could tell me a little bit about Zaphan and as we go, or
I looked into these, mm-hmm. and the information about them wasn't interesting enough.
No, they're just like the same, like generic demon stuff. Like,
yeah, it was like, oh, I'm into the torture. Intelligence of Saturn.
Yeah. I'm into torture and social and long pyramid marketing. Yeah.
Next one I have is Ronave.
You want to be your own boss?
God, check out my new makeup palette. You can sell them too if you want to.
Here's my link. Use my link, though.
I said this three times. This is the third time. Ronave.
I'm a fan.
John!
I'm a Zay fan. You're going to be a Zay fan of me. All right, go on.
I said it. Ronave.
Ronave. It's an ancient Italian demon. It is.
It is a demon.
I know it is. You were trying to think, oh, no, it's a Pokemon.
Shinotic.
That's a Pokemon.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, got that one right
now. It's got that Nautic.
Some of these were gimmies. Floris.
Floris?
Floris.
F-L-O-R-E-S?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, that seems like it's pertinent to my answer. I can tell you how it's spelled. What, is it spelled like a Pokemon name? What does that mean?
I don't know if... Okay, F-L-A-U-R-U-S.
A-U-R-E-S. Oh, that gave it away. It's a demon.
It is a demon. I told you they gave it away. Ding, ding, ding.
I thought if it was spelled like Flores, like the common
I thought
Latina.
You think it's a Pokemon.
No, the Latina like last name.
Oh.
So I thought Pokemon would not use a last name. But
they do that all the time. If it was spelled differently, they would do that absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that Pokemon Gomez.
Yeah.
And,
Morticia.
Well.
Nihiligo.
Nihiligo?
Yeah. I think you said it better than I did.
Nihiligo is a demon.
Incorrect! That is a Pokemon.
It sounded too much like a made-up Pokemon name.
Yeah. No, that's real.
Because it's got heal in it, yeah. And it's like Pokemon Go.
N-I-H-I-L-E-G-O. Nihiligo. Okay.
What kind of... I mean,
no idea.
Wow.
This is the
Poke fans.
Some
are
of these
be,
are from the
you're
last.
Gonna get a lot of mail, dude.
They're from the last generation. They're like Ultra Beast or Legendaries, and I stopped caring after the game ended, and you had to go collect all the Ultra Beasts. So here we are. Next one, Breaksin. Breaksin.
You shook your head like you didn't even know how to pronounce it, which makes you think it's a demon.
No, I said the X weird, and I was like,
oh, okay.
Demon.
Wait, hold on. Say it as if you were Pokemon. I want to hear if it. Please.
Breaksin.
Breaksin.
No, it's a demon.
Incorrect.
What?
That is a Pokemon. It's one of the starters from Sun and Moon.
Wow.
The interesting thing is, it's a witch type Pokemon.
Not only that, but you did the voice correctly, which...
I can't tell if it's an O or an A.
Zaphan.
Bifrons. Bifrons.
Bifrons.
Bifrons?
One time... When I went to dinner with my friends, I had to say bye, and I said, bye, Franz. I was so sad.
It was so sad.
There's
a hockey player named Sad, and we'd always be like, don't be so sad.
Bye, Franz.
Bye, Franz.
I'm going to go with la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho. Pokemon.
Incorrect! That is a demon. You got to get these next two correct, or I'm going to plant a curse, a satanic curse on you.
Okay.
Blacephalon.
Blacephalon?
Blacephalon with a B.
Oh, Blacephalon.
Yeah.
Can I just say real quick before I give you my answer?
Yeah.
Users of Blacephalon have experienced drowsiness, cough.
See, that's a good one for the dumb prescription.
That's a demon.
Yeah. You think it's a demon?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Whoa.
That is a Pokemon. It's one of the Ultra Beasts. I do know that.
Okay.
Zweilous.
You're not going to do two in a row.
Don't play the producer game because I went to a random number generator and
Pokemon.
That's how I put these in order. It is a Pokemon.
Okay.
Still, you only got five right, so you're going to have a satanic curse put on you.
Okay.
And next week, maybe that'll come into effect.
I hope so. I could use some excitement.
I know you could. Got anything else, Jonathan?
I don't think so, sir.
Well, in that case, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.